plate a potential nugget.
And moving forward, you also talk in the book about the choice that some of these companies make around the pace of growth. And you say that if you want to grow with a certain sense of culture and values, you can't grow too fast. How do you observe this play out in how organizations deliberately moderate the pace of growth while ensuring that they're building a unit with stable values and principles?
I think the simplest way to think of this is that at any moment, if you're a reasonably successful enterprise, you're confronted with many more opportunities than you have resources to pursue them, almost definitionally. And then the question is, what filtering criteria are you using to sort these out? If it's a purely commercial criterion, chances are you will grow your top line and bottom line fast. But if it's a combination of a commercial criterion and some other, let's call it constraint, self-imposed constraint, let's call it values, zero corruption or values or something like that, it's, axiomatic almost that you will not grow as fast as somebody who's unconstrained. But another way to say it, sometimes business people resist when I say that. They say, no, we can grow as fast. But I sometimes say it the following way, which they find more palatable, right? Which is, think of it as a short-run investment for longer-run growth in some ways. So you're leaving money on the table to earn the license to exist in the long run. It's no different than an investment in a physical asset. It's an investment in an intangible asset that turns out to pay out handsomely.
I think there are two dimensions to think about here. One is tangible versus intangible. The other is flow metrics versus asset metrics. I guess a lot of us are wired to think of and solve for tangible flow metrics. If we want to play the long game, I guess it makes immense sense to start focusing on the intangible asset metrics as well. Linda Grattan of London Business School speaks about the notion of intangible assets in a personal context that we all could think of, especially during midlife.
We talked about three types of intangible assets. We talked about productive assets, vitality assets, and transformation assets. And I think really, in your 40s, the productive assets become really important because you need to keep on learning. You need to keep on building new skills. You need to be saying to yourself and to the labor market, I'm still somebody who's got a lot to offer from now until the age of 70. So that's really crucial. But also, of course, transformational assets. And those are, as we said earlier, transformational assets are a lot to do with your network. So if at 40 you find yourself spending all your time with people just like you, then that's not going to help you to transform. So you should be looking around and asking yourself, am I spending time with people who are different from me in terms of their nationality or their mindset or their age or their gender?
The paradox is that the external world may not reward you for this in the short term. But as Tarun says, it might help you earn the license to exist and thrive in the long run. And that's business case enough.